Keegan's potential is so unlimited at this point. I mean, his I can definitely see him as an all-star at some point. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that that ceiling is so high for him.
And yeah, Chris Duarte's got NBA experience and he's a good player. But Colby Jones just does stuff that I've never seen Chris Duarte do.
But I think there's like a prejudice against Sasha Vezenkov just because he's a European player. And so they think he's just going to be a turnstile. The dude is physical. And it's not like he can't move his feet. He seemed to have at least average athleticism. Welcome to the Sports Ethos Sacramento Kings podcast. I'm your co-host, Daly, and my other co-host, the OG, Jill Edge, is still on hiatus taking care of business. This episode was recorded right after the Kings' loss to the Chicago Bulls in Summer League. I took the conversation to Twitter Spaces. I want to shout out everyone who participated. The conversation actually went a little long, but it was really fun. And so I decided to break it up into two parts. This is part one. So enjoy.
Yo, what's up, man?
How you been?
I'm chilling. Getting to that like boring part of the off season where like, you know, even the guys I wanted to see in summer league are like starting to wind it down. Like even like Kata, you know, he's done. And a lot of the other rookies that got drafted high. So, I mean, I'm like kind of like half paying attention to like the other teams, but I'm still like dialed into whatever the Kings are doing.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm looking at all the second year players now, and you know, the Dalen Terrys and the Keon Ellis's and people like that. So I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with it too. I felt like Slauson showed like flashes tonight, but I really want to see like a full game of him like actually putting it together and, you know, have it kind of reflected in the stat line, you know, hopefully even.
Yeah, he just doesn't get touches or anything. He's on the floor. He's just doing the little things, which is totally fine. But yeah, it's not like they're running anything through him. I'm impressed with Mike Dom though, for real. And I know this is just summer league and all that, but he'll get an opportunity somewhere. He could shoot, and he's big, so it's like, why not? You know what I mean? What's up, Manny? Good to see you.
Yeah, he's been a bright spot. Jordan Ford is playing crazy. I'm really impressed by just his ability to finish at the rim with his like size not being, you know, anything that spectacular. It's like every time he drives to the rim now, I'm assuming that he's going to hit a little floater. He's going to like, he just has like a really nice, like kind of mid range in between game, I feel like.
No, he does good things. It's just, unfortunately, I need to see him do this in the Thomas and Mack. Every time he's went off, it's been in the Cox Pavilion. So I want to see it with different sight lines in the bigger arena. And you know, I know everybody loves him and St. Mary's people love him, but all right, let's see you do this in the Thomas and Mack. I don't even know if we're going to play in there again. Because the last game, you know, where we lost, he didn't play well at all, you know?
Yeah, true that. Are you still there? No, I meant like, did you go out to summer league?
No, yeah, I went for Friday and then I came back. It was just a quick trip. I just wanted to see the Kings and Wemby. It just had to be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, the Wemby thing was a big deal, obviously. So but being able to say that you were a part of that is
it was
cool
crazy because, like, fools were literally standing for his warmups. Like, they didn't sit down. He got a big pop when he came out and just making layups and whatever in the warm-up line. And he played well. And you would have to have watched the game to know that. And so many people hated on him just by looking at the box score. And then not to mention there's a whole anti-Wemby contingent now because of Brittany. And it's like, come on, it's ridiculous. And Bryant, I know you want to get in here to talk about Jordan Ford and preach that gospel. I will say Javon Freeman Liberty is a stud. I haven't tracked him at all this summer league, but yeah, he impressed me. Dalen Terry did Dalen Terry things. As I've tweeted, I wanted the Kings to get him. He's just a really good utility guy with great passing. And then I'm jealous. I want the Kings to have a big body like Adama Sanogo. And I know we have Keita, but I think he's going to be in the G League. I just wish we had a deterrent like that on our bench to fill in. Trey Lyles is that guy defensively. Maybe he worked on it in the offseason. Who knows? But yeah, it'd be nice.
I hope that Len becomes something that, you know, what we saw at the end of the year becomes like the norm, or maybe not the norm, but just, you know, like hopefully he can just stay healthy, you know, and become an actual like presence, because they're going to need him a lot. There's a lot of like size in the West, obviously, and there's going to be a lot of nights that Trey Lyles at the five is not going to cut it.
Yeah, it's just matchups, right?
Yeah.
Like I'll take that Trey Lyles at the five against Rudy Gobert any day. That was a fun game. And, you know, it depends. We'll put him in there if there's a rim protector or something, and he'll draw them out. So that would be the case. But again, you know, I wouldn't put him in there against, let's say, Jalen Duren or someone like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask too. I don't know if you saw at all anybody else from the team that was there besides Keegan tonight. Was it just him that they showed?
Yeah. I don't know. I would have to look on Twitter. I, you know, I was watching the game, but yeah, we'll see if other people are on the bench. I just imagine everyone's out there training, but who knows?
Yeah. I thought it was so cool how Davion was there one of the days, like for like 4 or 5 games in a row, it seemed. Like he was just
ball, dialed in. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. I mean, it's obvious how much he loves the game, and it's kind of reflected in like everything he does, man, just on and off the court.
I just hope he shores up that jump shot. Davion with a three, Davion with a mid range is going to be a starting point guard for some other team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing that I kind of worries me is like, I don't feel like he's going to get enough reps to be able to kind of like get in a groove and get comfortable. And I do think that like kind of influences guys shooting numbers sometimes, you know, based off of like, you know, how long they're out there for, you know, when they get pulled, all that type of stuff.
And it doesn't help that, you know, Monk's there too. And I love Monk as well. But it's like if Monk and Davion were just one player, they'd be the perfect player, right? Yeah, playmaking.
Yeah.
You have someone in Monk who's super ignitable, but then you have the defense in Davion. And that's the one thing about the Kings. It's like, can we have a two-way player, please? You know, and I think potentially it might just be Keegan. You know, we know he could do offensively, but then defense, he's like average and maybe just above average.
Yeah. I think that the jump that we could really actually potentially see is seeing Fox have like a big defensive jump next year, just because, I mean, it was already like the number one offense of all time statistically or whatever. Right. And they just, you know, added like two potentially lethal, you know, Duarte and Vezinkov to the equation. You would assume that would take like a lot of the load off of Fox, to where he can just kind of like, you know, dial in on the other side of the ball a lot more, and he'll just be able to like, you know, spend more of that energy, I guess, like, you know, locking his guy down. And, you know, I guess previous years he didn't have that luxury because, you know, they were relying on him to score like 27, 28 a night. You know?
Well, I'd like to see Herter step up defensively as well. So everywhere, yeah, sure, helps, you know what I mean? Manny, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, what'd you think about the game? What are your takeaways?
Well, I mean, I'm just curious now, like, with a couple of spots left and less than another you know, they're out there looking for something else or another trade. You know, I'm a Bulls fan too, so it was good to see both teams, but I don't expect much out of the Bulls this year, so I'm definitely more concentrating on the Kings. Where do you think the last couple spots, do you think they're gonna, I don't think it's Queta. I don't think, I just don't see it. I think my reflection of him is what a lot of people, it's the frustration of, I see the same thing from him every year. I see the flashes, the inconsistencies. He's got the body. He's got the athletic skill set, but I just don't, he hasn't put it all together. And at this point, I hope he makes that jump at some point, but I feel like this is who he's going to be for his career.
Oh, he's still young though, man. Like, you know what I mean? It takes about 3 or 4 years, some people.
I get it, and I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping for that jump at some point because I think he's invaluable if he makes that jump. But how much, I mean, for you, how much longer do you think they're going to give him?
It's not like they're paying him any money. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's on a two-way, and that's totally fine. Or I think I forget what his situation is, but I think they're just going to wait and see, and I hope they have patience with him. That's all I can say.
No, I agree. I think they can afford to do that for now. And I agree with you on Davion. Like, all he's missing is that jumper. He gets that jumper, he's a bona fide starting point guard somewhere. Whether it's here or not, or whether he's a valuable piece to get us that missing piece that takes us to that next level, I think that's a possibility. I love him. I hope he's in SAC, you know. But at some point, I do think if he hits that level, obviously he's never gonna replace Fox in the starting lineup. Then I think that you have to use him as a trading chip to get you maybe that other big man or that next small forward. Or power forward, I should say.
Yeah, that's going to hurt, man. I don't want to see Davion go, but I can't hate if he wants to get that opportunity. Right. You know what I mean? And he has that spark in that eye. I know that he knows that with his potential, he could do more. And I see it. And it's kind of weird how some people have this low ceiling on him, but I think mm-hmm. he could do serious things. You know what I mean?
He's got that drive. Like, he's got that work ethic and that drive where if he doesn't, and you know, obviously we don't want that, but it's not for the lack of trying or the lack of the training. It just, it's going to be whatever it is. But his ceiling is so high to me because of that work ethic.
Well, and then look at it when you watch him play, he could get separation. He could get anywhere on the court. It's sure. just a matter of making his shots. You know what I mean? And yeah, I'm not going to lie. He does get targeted sometimes. Any 6'6 person that he guards, and he can guard them on the perimeter, but once they back him down, 9 times out of 10, they always go midi on him with a turnaround fadeaway. Whoever has that weapon usually gets it automatically just because, you know, he's so short. Manny, what's up, man? What do you think about Dalen Terry, man? I've always liked him. I've tracked him since he was a draft prospect. I've watched him at Arizona. He's dope to me, man.
I like him a lot. I think he has a lot of potential on that team, especially because they're just where he can do for them, especially now with Ball gone and probably never going to see him again. I think he has a great fit on that team, and I think he's only going to get better and better. I just need them to be able to – I think I really would have loved to see them at the trade deadline last year just admit that they tried to put a contender out there. It didn't work because Ball couldn't stay healthy for the most part, and just traded those pieces away and started all over instead of continuing doing what they're doing. And I think he would be a great centerpiece to that next group that's coming in. I hope he gets all the opportunity in the world because I surely think the skill level is there. I love his court vision. I love his tenacity. I definitely think he can be a starter. But he just needs that opportunity.
So last season, you know, I didn't watch the Bulls as much as I wanted to. Did he come off the bench for y'all or what?
Not he. It was very. They fluctuated his minutes
just on that rookie sheet, right? Like,
Yeah,
down in probably your G League and then come back up and okay. Yes. All right, I get it.
And I think at this point you can't do that with him. Like he needs to be in the rotation. You need to give him, and I just don't know if they're going to do that because I feel like they're still in their eyes for whatever reason still committed to, they think that they're on the levels of the Milwaukee and the and Boston's that they can make a run, and I don't see it. I don't see Levine is definitely not the man. I think he'll be a good, two or three option. He's not a one option. DeRozan, he had that one first great year for the Bulls, and we all knew it was going to plateau at some point just because of age. I don't know what they're doing, to be honest. I'm not a fan of what they're doing right now, but I think a lot of those players are going to be up for sale by the time All-Star break comes. So I don't know. If you had to look at that team, is there anybody that you think Zach would be interested in taking off that team?
I know we've tried to get Zach LaFine. We've given him a qualifying offer in the past. So
I remember that.
But yeah, no, he's he's a great third option.
That was the Vlade regime, though, right?
He's a money guy at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I mean, I don't know. I've mentioned DeRozan as an option before in the past, and I from what I gather, it seems like there's a lot of Kings fans that think that like the way he plays and the way Fox play would kind of clash, like the areas
overlapping skill sets, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that he couldn't really just like play off Fox, and like maybe it would be just a rough fit.
I don't know, man. You put those two players in the playoffs, and they could get anywhere on the court.
It
would just
it out,
be
right?
mid-range assassins all day long.
And DeRozan's a professional. Like he's not one of those. I need to have the ball in my hands. Last year, he if you watch them when they play towards the end of the year in the playoffs, he deferred to Zach a lot, trying to let him be the man, and Zach didn't seem like he wanted to be the man at times. Like he was very hesitant, and DeRozan was kept trying to encourage him to take the shots, make those moves. And so I think with him and Fox, I dismiss that. I think they would be so good together. And that veteran presence of somebody like him on this team, I think can be so invaluable.
I mean, this is dumb, but I think the greatest wing pairing for Fox would be like OG Anunoby, which is, that's a done deal. I mean, that would be a dream pairing for almost every team in the league.
Oh, for sure.
But I don't think that's
going to happen. The issue too, though, kind of with bringing in like a DeRozan type is one of the reasons why I had a hard time kind of like seeing how the Kuzma thing would work because it seems like they want Keegan to take a step forward as far as like assertiveness and like running the offense and stuff and being more a part of that, and, you know, getting shots up. Does that really happen if you add like a Kuzma or you add like a DeRozan? I mean, if anything, it's going to eat into the shots that he's getting, the shots Herder's getting, you know, all these other guys that they want to see more out of.
Keegan's potential is so unlimited at this point. I mean, I can definitely see him as an all-star at some point. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that ceiling is so high for him. And I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if at the end of his career he wasn't a multi-time all-star, you know, easily and averaging anywhere from 20 to about 24 to 25 points a game.
But I think he needs this makeup of the Kings right now. I think Mike Brown needs to be his coach for most of his career. Hopefully they extend him on Mike Brown. And he becomes our Jerry Sloan, so to speak. They just have to have the right pieces. And which is why I think, like, if we're thinking about Keegan's development in moving this team forward, like, I really did want Naz Reid on our team over the summer. He wouldn't demand the ball too much. He would just be that huge guy, athletic, that would be a deterrent and help Sabonis out. And he would shoot threes. And he could do a lot more. But he's not like a Kuzma or a DeRozan that would need the ball a little more than like you were saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There were points that Manny was making, though, about like the veteran leadership and all that stuff that can like kind of really help take the team over the top in the playoffs. And, you know, that it certainly has its worth, but it also has to just like make sense on the court together, or else it's just throwing a bunch of names basically, right, you know, together, and just assuming it's going to work.
Yeah, 100%.
I was really surprised in sitting back, especially reading your guys' comments on Twitter during the free agency period and all that, and watching fans' reactions here. And I get everybody wants to be great right away, right? Like, give me all your top free agents. I don't care how much it costs, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, like, in Monty we trust. He's doing it the right way. He's looking at it long-term wise, which is the way you should be building it. It's stability and and just being able to not just do this in a flash and make the playoffs a couple years, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've got this inflated payroll where now you've got to start trading guys away. Like, no, this is the way that you build for the long haul, especially in a city like Sacramento. And if you don't see out there what you really need or what you want, then you wait. There's always the trade deadline. There's always letting this group keep on gelling and going into the next offseason and keep adding to it. But don't overpay and don't overreact to what the situation is.
Yeah, 100%. And I'll say this, and then I want to hear from Paul Litzburner, but he's never going to do what we want them to do. He always zags when we want him to zig. But right. Whatever he does, it's the most sensible, right move, and which is why we think he's a genius and we love him. As long as the success comes, you know what? Go ahead and make these low-key lateral – like, we think they're lateral moves, but, you know, they help us in the long run. And yeah, we just have to expect this team's success to be a slow burn instead of, like – you know, some overnight sensation. And even though we kind of were an overnight sensation, you know, it's always baby steps with this team, and he's not going to like make a big splash unless he really has to. And I don't know if he's ever going to do that. But you know, the summer's not over yet. Pollard's burner, man. What's going on?
What's up, everybody? Enjoying the conversation so far. Yeah, I kind of just wanted to add the thing about Keegan that I don't know if people realized, like, before he, you know, was in the NBA, is his ability to be coached is an ability in and of itself. Like, I mean, you saw it firsthand just in his rookie season, like when Mike really got on his ass about rebounding. Like the very next game, he had like 9 rebounds or something. Like, he went from 0 to 9. Like, it's almost like sometimes what he needs to do doesn't dawn on him, you know, on his own accord, and it takes someone pointing it out to him, but then he's like, oh, okay, I'll just go do that. And he has so much talent. I thought it was so crazy when he was drafted. You know, there were a lot of talking heads that were like, oh, you know, NBA ready to contribute, but probably already at his ceiling. And I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? Like, again, I didn't even know Keegan's ability to take strides like this was something that he had. But even before he played a minute on the floor, I was like, there's no way. Like, there's no way this is already his ceiling. He's going to get better. If this is what he can do with one off season, hanging out with our best player and just, you know, putting in the time, working with Luke, working with Mike, like they said, the sky's the limit for Keegan. The narrative has changed so quickly overnight. You know, regarding Keegan, from a guy who is already at his ceiling to, oh, he could be the best player on the team. And that was like apparent, you know, 2 months into his rookie season, that this guy's potential is insane. And just look out there. If he continues to develop more of a bag and become a steady, reliable ball handler and more of a playmaker, just watch out. That combination of IQ and coachability and length and shooting ability, it's what every single team in this league is looking for constantly, whether it's through the draft or through trade or anything. Everybody wants a Keegan Murray. So just wanted to bring that up. And then number two, like, a lot of people are talking about Chris Duarte and his connection with Domas, and how he really missed Domas when he was traded to the Kings and kind of affected his play over in Indiana. I think the same thing is going to be true for Colby Jones. I think that Colby is a type of player that, Domas just makes everybody around him better. But I think that Colby is just going to love playing with Domas. I think it's going to unlock his game. I saw some cuts tonight, you know, cutting to the basket. Players had the ball in the high key, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that's our offense in a nutshell. And we're talking passes from Kata in the past games and from Slauson in this game where I was like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to see this guy play with Domas. So, yeah, that was just really heartening to see.
Oh, well said, man. Well said. And Colby Jones, he didn't have a great game tonight as far as just counting stats, right? But he does so many things. And like you said them all. Cutting, he makes the right pass. Defensively, he gets to where he needs to be. And he's not a target. He's going to be fine. I don't think he's going to get a lot of playing time this year. What do you guys think?
I answered a poll. I think it was Tom Witt that put the poll up. I could be wrong. It might have been Alan Cowell. But someone asked, you know, who's going to get the who plays the backup three? And it was like 90% Duarte. And I actually voted for Colby. I could see that being more of a competition than people think. Like I said, especially within our system. Right now we're seeing Colby Jones in the Sacramento Kings summer league system with Luke Lauk's coaching. It's similar, but it's not the same thing. You're gonna have a much smoother offense with more time to develop and gel as a team in training camp and before the season starts. And yeah, Chris Duarte's got NBA experience and he's a good player. But Colby Jones just does stuff that I've never seen Chris Duarte do. So I don't think it's a lock, and I could be completely wrong, and he could sit, you know, 95% of the season. But I would not be surprised if reports come out of camp that Colby's running, you know, with the second team. It really would not surprise me, just because, like you said, he makes the right play, high basketball IQ. He just knows where to be, and as he continues to, you know, develop as a player personally and with this team, I think he could really unlock him.
Well, I'm thinking, I'm looking up Christian Brown stats, and it's like, I'm thinking he'll get those types of minutes. Just spot minutes here and there, but really impactful, if that makes sense. But we talked about this last night. Guys, I mean, and it was really, you know, where does Colby Jones get his minutes? But then also, I was like, is there a world where Vezenkov just is so lights out and is adequate on defense that he takes that starting four spot over Harrison Barnes? Is that possible?
I will answer if nobody else wants to.
I would say probably not right away.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, I think that they've got to, like, see that starting lineup through. They've got to see, like, what they – you know, can start the season looking like, and then just kind of take things from there. But I personally, like, I mean, I would be surprised if he was moved out of the starting lineup before, like, I don't know, December at the earliest. Like, and even that seems like kind of early.
You think so? So you're saying Sasha could be in there by December?
Yeah, or Sasha, or, you know, perhaps somebody else. I don't know. But I do know that, like, the big argument against moving Harrison to the bench seems to be his defense. I don't think replacing HB with Sasha is helping you much there.
Oh, man. But what if he's so automatic that it's just Peja all over again? See, you know what I mean?
That's the thing for me is – I don't regard Harrison Barnes as any kind of special defender. In fact, I'd probably consider him on the side of a defensive liability, especially, and I hate to use the word older age because he's 31, but he is a little bit older, slowing down a tad. I think, like Daly just said, I think that you might have his offensive impact outweigh, you know, his defensive liability. And that's not to say that Sasha is a super poor defender. You know, I've seen him make some plays where he uses his size and uses his length, and I'm like, okay, this guy's not incompetent. You know, he with some coaching and in a proper system, he can be a decent defender. So I would not be surprised at all to see Sasha uproot Barnes. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, you move Barnes to the bench and you instantly have one of the better bench scorers, second unit leaders, you know, guy who when the second unit is stagnant and can't buy a bucket and the other team's on a 10-0 run, Barnes will get to the basket. That's what he does. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him move to the bench in favor of Sasha. I think that would be a net positive for the team.
No, I agree. But I think there's like a prejudice against Sasha Vezenkov just because he's a European player. And so they think he's just going to be a turnstile. The dude is physical, and it's not like he can't move his feet. He seemed to have at least average athleticism. You know, I mean, have you guys watched his games? Did you watch his playoff games? I don't think he's like going to be, what do they call him? A pine cone or what? A street cone, whatever. Traffic cone. It's, he can move and see his feet. He's tough. He's physical. He rebounds.
He's a super fierce competitor. I mean, every single picture of that guy, his mouth is wide open. There's spit flying out of his mouth. Like you can tell he plays with intensity. The only difference is instead of, you know, flying through the air and dunking, he's just, you know, shooting lasers from beyond the arc. That's just kind of what he does. I'm personally super on board the Sasha hype train. I'm incredibly excited to see him play. I think that we might see the best version of him on the Kings, not having to be the number one option like he was on Olympiacos, and just be a guy that gets to run within the flow of the offense and just do what he does best. I'm super excited for Sasha.
Yeah, do you guys ever watch those Basket News videos? Super excellent. The guy knows his ball, his European ball. But he was just saying now he would totally work on the Kings because our offense is that complex. There's tons of actions, and that's what he does. We're not going to be one of those NBA teams that just says, hey, stand in the corner. We're going to go spread, pick, and roll, and you stand in the corner and hit corner threes. No, we do so many things off ball. And so we're going to get him open looks in the most creative ways possible. And I really think our offense is going to be tweaked considering what happened with Golden State and how they top locked our guys and they broke up our DHOs. So we're going to be doing some different things. We have to, because I think the rest of the league is going to adjust. I think Golden State provided the blueprint. Granted, not every team has defenders like Golden State had, but yeah, it's going to be really interesting.